Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Okay, cadets, I'm just curious, how many of you have seen the movie The Lion King? That's good. It took you a moment to raise your hand. I'm like, oh boy, that blows up my whole sermon introduction here if no one saw the Lion King. Did you see the new one, which is the animation one, or the old cartoon one? Old one? Old? You said new? Okay, so a mixture of both old and new. And they're pretty close to each other. And so there's a scene in The Lion King where Simba is asked this question, who are you? And that's asked by the monkey character. What's his name? Anybody know? Rafiki, yeah, Rafiki. So Rafiki says, I know who you are, but do you know who you are? And then Simba responds like this, I am a nobody. And this is just after Nala comes and explains how Scar is the evil ruler of the kingdom and he's oppressing everyone. And Simba has to come back and defeat Scar and give freedom back to the people. But Simba says, I can't do that because I am a nobody. That's who I am, and nobodies cannot win a kingdom. But then Rafiki shows Simba his reflection in the water. And then Simba realizes who he really is. Because in the reflection, he sees, yes, himself, but he sees an image of his father, Mufasa, who had died. And after seeing the image of Mufasa, he realized, I am the child of a king. I am the rightful king. And at that point, he gets courage and he's ready to go do battle. Remember early on when Simba was younger, he wanted to roar. He had to discover his roar, but he couldn't. It was a pretty weak, pathetic kind of roar. And then when he grew up and after he realized, I am the son of the king, then he got his roar. Then he roared for the first time and it was a majestic roar. And he had the strength and courage to do what he had to do. So the point of the movie is what you believe about yourself affects how you live. What you believe about yourself affects what you do in life. So I'm going to ask you the question, who are you right now? And you can answer however way you want to. If you just want to say your name, that's fine. But who are you? Tanner, okay. And who are you? Cadet counselor, all right, who are you? You're me, that's good. And who are you? Nicholas, and who are you? Grant, and who are you? Another cadet counselor, all right, who are you? All right, who are you? Darren, all right, who are you? All right, who are you? Okay, student. Now, some of you who said your names, don't ask me to remember all of your, I know some of yours already, but not everyone's. So we all have an answer for who we are. You might say your name, but you can go deeper, right? No, who are you really? And then you might say, well, I'm a trumpet player or basketball player. My name is so-and-so, but I am also a cadet counselor, right? You can keep going deeper, like who you really are. And the Bible gives us an answer for that question, a much deeper answer, the deepest way we can possibly answer that question of who we are. And the Bible answers it saying, we are children of God. That is our identity. That is how we are primarily to think of ourselves. Yes, we have names. Yes, we have characteristics and abilities. And those are all wonderful and important. But fundamentally, at the very heart of things, deep down inside, who are we? We are children of God. And that is what should shape how we view ourselves and how we live our lives. And the thing is, we don't want to believe Satan's lies or what Satan says about that. We'll talk about what that is later on. We want to believe what God says of us. We are His children. And that's going to shape what we do. So I want us to think about this whole theme this morning. We are children of God. And I want to point out three things. You know, first, how you are a child of God. Second, what it means to be a child of God. And then third, how to live that out, how to make use of that identity. So first, how you are a child of God. And Romans 8, verse 15 says, we are adopted by God. Did you know that God adopted you? No? Okay. We have a young daughter. Her name is Carolyn, and we love her so much. She's very precious to us, as our other kids. And Carolyn is adopted, and she knows she's adopted, and we celebrate that because it's important, it's exciting. Now, there was a time where she wasn't adopted. She was part of her birth parents, or even a ward of the state, you could maybe characterize it as. And so she was part of a different family, and her other family couldn't care for her, which is why we adopted her. And so she was part of another family. She wasn't part of us, but then she became part of us. Well, the Bible says we are adopted, which means that there was a certain point where we were not part of God's family. And what that means is that we were part of the family of Satan. I mean, it sounds heavy and scary to talk like that, but that's, apart from being saved by Jesus, that's what we really are. We're part of the family of Satan. He is our owner, and we are stuck in sin. We didn't know God. We were just living for ourselves. We were loving our sin. It's like we were living under the values of a different family, but all of those values were evil and corrupt. But then God did something. He saw us struggling in that family. And God knew that being part of that family couldn't save us. I mean, Satan is evil, right? And sin is bad. And so God did something to get us out of that. And so He adopted us as sons through Jesus Christ. I have a picture up there on the screen if you want to show that of the canyon. So does anybody know what that is? Yeah. It's the Grand Canyon, yes. And from one side to the next, I mean, there's a lot of space. I mean, no one can just walk across that. If you try to walk across that, what would happen? Yeah, Logan. What would happen if you try to walk across? Yeah. I'm calling on you. Okay. You would fall, and you would probably die or get severely hurt. I mean, there's a lot of space in there, and it's far down. Now, so picture that as, okay, we're on one side, and God is on the other side of that canyon. So there's God and His righteousness and holiness. That's like a heavenly family. And then here we are on the other side of the canyon, separated from God, stuck in the family of sin. Now, there's no way we can just get out of that. And we're not powerful enough where we can just walk in thin air across that canyon. And so God has to do something for us. He has to save us. And so Jesus Christ becomes the bridge. So you can look at that picture, just imagine a bridge across it. And that bridge is Jesus. That bridge is the cross of Jesus Christ. And so through His shed blood, through His death on the cross, we're brought out of sin and into the heavenly family. And God adopts us. And He calls us His own, and He loves us with such a perfect love that no words can even begin to truly describe how powerful that love is. So how were we adopted? How are we children of God? It's God loved us. God sent us Jesus to adopt us. And Jesus is our brother, and God is our Father. Now, how cool is that? God is our Father. I mean, think about the fact that God created the world. How many days did He create the world in? Yeah, 7 days. Okay. Now, if someone creates the world, God created the world out of what? Does anybody know? Out of nothing, right? There was just nothing there. It was just God from all eternity, and He brought everything into existence. Now, a God who is that powerful is the God we can call our Father. That's pretty cool. Because you would think a God that powerful, like we can never talk to Him, we can never approach Him, but He is our Father because Jesus Christ saved us and we're adopted into the family. And Romans 8, verse 15 also speaks of another way of how we are adopted. And it talks about the Holy Spirit. So does anybody know who the Holy Spirit is? Have you heard of the Holy Spirit? How would you describe the Holy Spirit? Anybody? You can just guess too. It's okay. Yeah, Logan. Holy. Oh, right. It's the Spirit of holiness. And that is a good answer. Anybody else? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is also God. Have you heard that before? No? Okay, well, this is important. The Holy Spirit, yeah, you have, okay. The Spirit is also God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is part of that adoption, which means that the Spirit has come into our hearts and changed our hearts so that we love God and believe in Him. So this is how we were adopted, through Jesus, being that bridge, that's the cross, and then the work of the Holy Spirit. But let's go to our second point. What does it mean to be a child of God? Well, think about, what does it mean to be a child of your parents? You probably have certain chores or expectations. Does anybody have to vacuum at all? You do? Okay. Anybody have to dust? Yeah, okay. You're like, you're the only one. You're vacuuming and dusting. You've got it bad here. Does anybody have to clean the bathrooms or toilets? Yeah. That's what I had to do when I was a kid. That's good. I'm guessing you would just say, no way, I refuse. And then your parents would say, oh, you better do it, right? Okay. So when you live in the family, there's a way of life, there's certain expectations. Well, we're adopted by God, so that means something. So here's what it means. We get a close relationship with our God. I already mentioned that we get to call Him our Father. And so we have that love of a father, and not, you know, our earthly fathers can be quite imperfect, and some earthly fathers can be terrible, but our heavenly Father is perfect, and He loves us in the most perfect way possible, just loving us for who we are. And your cadet theme is, hey God, it's me. So that has to do with prayer. So we can talk to God our Father, just like how children talk to their parents. Romans 8, verse 15 says, Abba, Father. So that's an intimate word of saying Father. It's like Daddy or Papa. You get that kind of relationship. Not just God our Father as drill sergeant or God our Father as tyrant or rule maker, but God, Abba, Father, Daddy, who we can come to with anything. Do any of you pray? Yeah? And knowing that God is this loving Father should encourage us to keep praying. He will not refuse us. And then being a child of God means that God our Father treats us just like Jesus. Now there's only one natural Son of God, right? We're all adopted, but God does have one natural Son. And maybe some of you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His what? One and only Son, yes. So there's one natural Son, Jesus. We're adopted, but He treats us all as His own. He treats us all as His own natural kids. There's no second-class citizens. Anybody know the story of Cinderella? Yeah, so Cinderella was kind of a second-class citizen. She was mistreated. She had to wear rags. She wasn't up to the same level as her other stepsisters. Well, that's not how God treats us, even though we're adopted. He treats us as His own. He treats us as royalty, as His own people that He loves. And being a child of God also means that we are accepted. We are accepted for just who we are, even when we break the rules, when we break God's commands, even when we sin, God still loves us. Have any of you ever broken the rules of your household and gotten in trouble? Logan's like, no, never. I'm going to talk to Brent and Jackie. I bet they have a different story to tell. I can tell you one time where I broke the family rules. And I'm not proud of it. It ended up being an adventure, but it's still sin. And so I was living in South Holland, Illinois. I was a freshman in high school. And we decided we should ride our bikes from South Holland, Illinois to downtown Chicago. That was probably a 20-some mile trip. And it's not the trip itself that was so bad or long. I mean, 20 miles on a bike is only like 2.5 hours. It's not that bad. But we had to go through all of the dangerous neighborhoods where there were gangs and stuff. And so our plan was to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning while everyone was still sleeping. And we did. But I asked my dad the night before, can we do this? We're planning this. We're going to stay safe, and we're going to have a friend who has a driver's license and is, you know, he's 16, and he can come and pick us up. We're not going to ride back. We'll just ride there. He's like, no way. Too dangerous. My other friends asked. Their parents said, yes, it's okay. So I was the only one whose parents said no. And I broke the rules there, and I went anyway. And I got in trouble. My bike was grounded. I was grounded from my bike for all of the summer. And that's a big deal because you can't drive yet. And most of your friends can't drive yet. So that was our means to get places. And so it ended up being an adventure. And it turned out okay, but we still broke the rules. But even though I got disciplined for it, I was still loved for who I was. I was still accepted. Just because I broke the rules didn't mean that I was not going to be loved anymore. No, I was still loved just the same. And so that's what it means to be a child of God. I mean, we're going to make mistakes because we're humans and we have that sinful nature that still clings to us. And there's going to be times where we just go against God's word. We live for ourselves and we feel bad about that, but it happens. But we can know that our God is always going to love us. He will accept us. He will renew us. He will keep applying his work of grace in our lives, and nothing is going to stop that. So God is always the God we can run to when we make mistakes, knowing he will forgive us, not send us away. And then being a child of God also means we have a great future. We didn't read this verse, but after verse 15, it talks about a future inheritance. Does anybody know what an inheritance is? Yeah, it's something you get from your parents when they die. So it comes from their savings, their investments, and so forth. And not everyone's able to have a big inheritance. Every family's got different means. But the Bible says we get an inheritance from God. We have a glorious future. And that inheritance then is a heavenly inheritance. So we're talking like riches of heaven, streets of gold, sharing the throne of Christ. We get all of that because we're sons of God the Father, which means we are royalty. We are princes. And we're going to share in that reign when we get to heaven forever and ever. That's pretty cool. Did you know that you were kings? Did you know that you were princes? Well, you are, because you're children of the Most High. Okay, so I think we have an understanding of how we become children, what it means to be a child of God. But let's talk about how we make use of this identity, because this matters. Remember, what you believe about yourself affects what you do in life. And we have lots of different battles and struggles. And Romans 8 verse 15 says, we've not been given a spirit of slavery to fear, but we've been given the Holy Spirit by which we cry, Abba, Father. So the spirit of fear is what we have to fight against all our lives. And we can fight against that spirit of fear by knowing we are children of God. So what are some of the things you fear? I'll share with you some of mine, but let's go down the line. What do you fear? Spiders. What do you fear? Heights. My mom when she's angry. All right, what do you fear? Spiders. Monsters. What do you fear? Snakes. Public speaking, yeah. My wife when she's angry, right? What do you fear? Kids, and what do you fear? Heights, all right. I can identify with some of those. So I want to share with you some things that I've been afraid of when I was younger and how being a child of God makes a difference. So when I was a kid, I feared math and spelling. Does anybody else know that? Yeah. I was terrible at math because I'm not detail-oriented. I'm a bigger picture. I loved stories and coming up with themes of stories and writing about that. But math was terrible and spelling way too detailed for me. So I would get D's regularly in spelling and math. And I would fear that because knowing I would get a D, I would feel I wasn't good enough. I'm not smart enough in math. I'm not smart enough in spelling. But that's Satan talking to us. You're not good enough. What are we? Who are we? We're children of God. We are loved. We are cherished. We are valued. We are worth something. So we don't have to fear not being good enough. Does anybody ever fear social gatherings? Yeah, okay. I did, because I'm an introvert. And you can't change who you are. If you're an introvert, you're probably an introvert the rest of your life, but you learn how to work within that. And being an introvert is not bad, because it's how people are wired. You are not any less because you're an introvert. The extroverts got their own problems, like they talk too much. Just sometimes you just have to be quiet, and you need a good listener. Introverts can be thoughtful and deliberate and gift-giving and things like that. So there's strengths for both, but I remember fearing social gatherings, or I knew that I had my limits. At a certain point, I just had to go home and play video games or something. But some of that anxiety was because I feared what people might think of me. I was a little bit socially awkward, and I still am, and I just own that. But I love people, and I can communicate Christ very well. But I feared what people would think of me. So what helps in all of that? We're a child of God. So again, we're not failures. We're not good for nothings. That's not how we are to think of ourselves. No, we're children of God. We have our own gifts. And so that helps us to be happy with who we are, contentment. Or there can be the fear of not being successful. I was not good at sports. I played basketball eighth grade, and that was it. I was not good enough to make the high school team. Now, some of you will be good athletes, and some of you won't be good athletes. I've got good friends who are pastors of much larger churches, and there's no competition between us. I mean, all of us, we care about saving the lost. That's all we want, is that people to come and know Jesus Christ. And it's about using our gifts. And so why isn't there a competition between us pastors when some people might fear not having enough success? Well, it's because we're children of God. And that's what matters more than having a large church. Being a child of God is much more important than being a star athlete or whatever. Because you have your own gifts. And that's what it's about, just being the child of the Father, doing what you can, serving in what ways you can, and you don't have to be anybody else. Some people fear not being good-looking. That leads to hiding. Has anybody read the Chronicles of Narnia? Yes, okay, good. In the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there's a scene where there's a group of people. They've been cursed with ugliness. And no matter what they do, they cannot reverse their ugliness. So what they do is they put another spell on themselves where they are invisible. They'd rather be invisible than have other people see them as ugly. But I think that's what we do. We feel like we're not good looking enough, and so we try to disappear because we just don't want people to see us or see through us. But there is one thing that erases the fear of being ugly. It's not a spell of invisibility. It's the truth that we are children of God, that we are loved, we are beautiful. Jesus has made us beautiful, and we resemble Him because we're in His family. So being a child of God matters. It helps you to fight fear, leads you to be content and happy with who you are and how God has made you. And so make use of that identity. That is my challenge to you, to make use of that identity. So how do you do that? Well, Satan's going to lie to you. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. People don't like you. But those are all lies. And we say no to that. I am a child of God. So let's go down the line again. I'm going to ask you who you are. And hint, your answer should be, I'm a child of God. All right, Tanner, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And who are you? 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 All right. Congregation, who are you?
Child of God.
Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, you're a great God and we love you. Thank you for adopting us into your family. Help us to own that identity because so many things out there threaten it or take our thoughts away from that identity and we get confused. So may these truths sink deep into our hearts. Amen.